Well, being that it got quiet, it must be time to start. Thank you all for coming. Welcome to the House Commerce and Labor Committee. Mr. Bastian, in particular, welcome to our committee this morning. Thank you for coming up from Atlanta. I told you earlier, contrary to popular belief, it's actually like this in Minnesota every day. So weather was a factor in your headquarter decision. I think this is the spot. Global warming has been kind to us here.
I'm from Buffalo, New York, so you can't pull that one over on me.
You actually have better weather, just more snow, I think, in Buffalo. But, again, welcome to the committee. Mr. Hurst, welcome back on behalf of Northwest Airlines. And, gentlemen, we want to make sure that the Senate has an opportunity to hear from you as well, so we're going to start fairly rapidly. Mr. Bastian, you've commented to the press that, and in statements that this transaction of Delta acquiring Northwest should be described as an addition, not a subtraction. But quite frankly, so far anyway, it seems to have multiplied your problems and led to division among your employees. And by that, what I'm talking about, your stock has plummeted since the day of the announcement. You've seen analysts question your bond rating. You've got the possibility of a situation involving the state of Minnesota if there's a breach of the agreement. I'm assuming in your opening comments that you will allay those concerns and we'll be able to adjourn in 10 minutes and walk away everybody happy. But I would look forward to your opening comments. Welcome.
Okay, Mr. Chair, thank you. And members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to have this hearing and, as you said, get a chance to address the questions that are good questions, fair questions on everyone's mind, both at Northwest Airlines as well as at Delta Airlines. My name is Ed Bastian. I'm the president of Delta Airlines. I'm also the chief financial officer of Delta Airlines. And I do recognize the importance of this topic that's not of the utmost concern to the employees of your state and this community, your citizens, and we are pleased to be here today. Last month, we announced the merger of Delta and Northwest, a transaction that will create America's premier global airline and will preserve significant jobs and service around the country, and importantly here in Minnesota. This transaction comes at a unique and important time in the history of the airline industry. The question facing both Delta and Northwest is whether we'll have companies with a global network and financial stability to compete in an increasingly global marketplace, and whether we can withstand the skyrocketing cost of fuel to preserve jobs, increase competition, and withstand the skyrocketing cost of fuel and to provide service for millions of employees and customers who depend on our two airlines every day. As you well know, our ability to remain strong financially and to compete internationally is severely impacted by the unprecedented rise in the price of oil. Continued prices of up to $120 per barrel of crude oil is resulting in the current bankruptcy for carriers and robbing even the most financially sound carriers of profitability. In the last few weeks alone, we've seen six carriers go into bankruptcy in this country directly as a result of fuel prices, with five of them shutting down completely. They're going to liquidation. They're not reorganizing. They're not coming back. During the first quarter of this fiscal year, the 10 largest U.S. airlines lost more than $1.6 billion combined, compared to a profit of $74 million in the first quarter of 2007, with a swing driven by nearly $3.5 billion in increased fuel costs. And we've seen the impact of bankruptcies on airline employees and customers over the last 6 years. Since 2001, U.S. network carriers have shed more than 150,000 jobs and lost more than $29 billion. Something has to change. That is why Northwest and Delta are coming together to create a financially stronger airline with a broad and diversified global route network that will help us weather the impact of fuel prices, withstand increasing pressure from foreign competition, and importantly, preserve jobs and service for employees and communities. Let me start with the benefits for employees, since I know this is a critical issue for your state. First, let me assure you that the hub at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport will remain a full and vibrant hub after the merger. Minneapolis, much like its sister hub at Detroit, benefits from its excellent geographic location and its preeminent position as the home to dozens of Fortune 1000 companies. For airline planners, this means both Minneapolis and Detroit are positioned for even more new routes and service as Delta and Northwest combine. For instance, neither Minneapolis-St. Paul North Detroit customers currently have nonstop access to South America, Africa, or Middle East, routes that we service in the Delta network, and they have only limited nonstop access to Europe. By leveraging the strengths of Delta's network, the Delta-Northwest merger will make it possible to consider new nonstop flights to all of these regions from Northwest hubs, creating the potential for even more service and jobs and the substantial economic benefits that accompany each new route. The Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport also benefits from its cost structure, which is now competitive with the cost at other Delta and Northwest hubs, such as Detroit. As our planning goes forward, we will make definitive decisions about potential new flights and routes, and it's critical that the operating costs per enplaned passenger at Minneapolis remain as low or lower than in Detroit, a factor that has allowed Northwest to continue to grow here in recent years. Beyond the hub at Minneapolis-St. Paul, Delta also intends to maintain significant facilities here to support our worldwide operations, including various management functions, which represent good-paying jobs remaining at the headquarters location in Eagan. As for the worldwide headquarters, Delta will continue to be based in Atlanta, but the fact that Delta and Northwest will become the world's largest airline, serving nearly 400 destinations on six continents, means that there will be plenty of opportunity for national, regional, and international employment centers in Atlanta, Minneapolis, and elsewhere. As we're just beginning our integration planning, the exact list of facilities and corporate functions that will be located in Minnesota is not yet final, but we hope to have those details resolved over the coming months. All of us at Delta are also very confident in our ability to work with our Northwest colleagues and bring together these two storied companies in a way that respects both companies' roots. Northwest as the airline that pioneered the Great Circle Route in 1947, and Delta as the airline that became the world's largest carrier across the Atlantic in the 1990s, have complementary strengths and global ambitions that we believe will ease integration. Delta is proud of the uniquely cooperative relationship we have with our employees. And in planning this merger, the impact of on employees for both Delta and Northwest was uppermost in our minds. For years, Delta has been known as an airline that works collaboratively with its employees to offer wages and benefits that are better than our competitors, to avoid frontline furloughs, even when other airlines are furloughing and failing, and to achieve fair and equitable seniority integration in the midst of complex mergers and acquisitions, and as a company that consistently engenders support from our employees. Delta, after all, is the company whose employees, the employees of Delta, through payroll deduction, purchased a multi-million-dollar Boeing 767 aircraft and gave it to the company as a gesture of gratitude after Delta management refused to lay off workers during an economic downturn in the early 1980s. Delta is the company who became known for completing one of the most seamless and positive mergers in airline history during the acquisition of Western Airlines in 1987. And Delta is the company that for a generation enjoyed the highest service ratings of any airline in the industry, thanks to the loyalty and spirit of our employees. The opportunity ahead of us now is to welcome our Northwest brethren in a way that embraces Northwest tradition. The management of Delta has long believed that companies and employees that fail to work together are at a great risk of failure, and that treating the employees of both Delta and Northwest with dignity, respect, and fairness is a guiding principle of this merger. Out of the gate, we've announced some significant benefits for the employees of both companies resulting from the merger. We'll set aside sufficient equity stock in the new company so that all employees can have an unprecedented equity stake in the merged company, as never happened in the airline industry before. We will move all employees over time up to industry standard pay and benefits, which they richly deserve. We'll honor our commitment to all U.S.-based frontline employees to provide a process for the integration of seniority in a fair and equitable manner. We'll maintain the existing pension plans of both companies, both for our current employees and for those already retired. We'll maintain our top-tier profit-sharing plans and operational reward programs, plans that paid out over $300 million for both companies' employees over the last year. We have assured our frontline employees that there will be no involuntary furloughs as a consequence of the merger, and particularly important in light of the impact on our industry of record fuel prices and economic uncertainty, we will strengthen our airlines financially and provide opportunities for our people to benefit from our planned growth and future success. It is these types of commitments that demonstrate Delta's passion for treating its employees fairly, which has been reinforced through years of action that have consistently put employees first. With respect to whether there will be union representation in the various crafts or classes of employees after the merger of Delta and Northwest, we have pledged to respect our employees' preferences on that issue. Federal law, as administered by the National Mediation Board, provides a time-tested democratic process for determining employee choice regarding representation following an airline merger. We, of course, will respect that process and those choices. In the meantime, we have provided a written commitment to honor the existing Northwest collective bargaining agreements consistent with applicable law until any post-merger representation issues are resolved. Regarding seniority protection for the frontline employees of Delta and Northwest, Delta took the initiative last year when our board of directors adopted a policy to provide a process for fair and equitable seniority integration for employees of both companies in any merger. This process, which is the same that has been used in successful mergers guided by the Civil Aeronautics Board before airline deregulation and others since, has also been adopted into U.S. law through legislation passed by the Congress last December. Delta successfully fought to assure that the law as passed protected all employees, whether union or non-union. We carried these principles through our negotiations with Northwest and have provisions in our merger agreement that provide for fair and equitable seniority protection. I'd also like to address another issue that I know is important to this committee and our customers, and that is service to small communities. Both Delta and Northwest are very proud of their long history of serving small communities. Northwest has often been the only way for people in small towns in Minnesota and throughout the upper Midwest to connect with the rest of the country and the world. Similarly, Delta was founded in Monroe, Louisiana, and for years its focus was serving small southern communities. We know and understand the importance of air service to the economic health of these communities. The phenomenal growth of Atlanta and the Southeast in general is directly related to the superior service offered from Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta, largely by Delta, and we know there is a similar affinity here in between Minneapolis and Northwest. We intend to continue with these traditions and to remain the airline providing the most service to small communities from strategically located hubs in Atlanta, Minneapolis, Detroit, New York, Memphis, Cincinnati, and Salt Lake City. This is just not about customer service. It's also good business sense. We have committed publicly that we will not close any hubs as a result of this merger. And to keep these hubs profitable, we need the traffic from the small communities around the country. A robust hub system is critical to the service desired by the small communities. It's the most effective model to serve these communities and allows us to use smaller aircraft to bring passengers from many small communities to the hub and offer broad connecting opportunities for their passengers. The combined Delta and Northwest will serve over 140 small communities, nearly twice the number served by our next closest competitor. The merged airline will offer the potential for new service to nearly 3,000 domestic origin and destination markets and over 6,000 new international markets, greatly expanding the ability of our customers from small communities to reach every part of the country and the world on one airline. As the economies of the world become more linked more closely, we recognize the importance of air travel to the ability of small communities to compete and thrive in a world economy. This merger will open up a new range of options for our customers and small communities to put them in contact with the rest of the world. For example, the combined Delta Northwest will provide customers in 48 small communities currently served by Northwest better access to 83 unique international destinations served by Delta today, while passengers in 51 small communities served by Delta will gain greater access to 20 unique Northwest international destinations. The combined airline will offer passengers over 390 global destinations on a single airline, up from 250 on Northwest today and 327 on Delta alone. Since Delta and Northwest have focused their attention on different regions, there are few overlap routes, and customers will gain the benefits of a larger combined network without any material reduction in service. However, providing service to any city, whether small or large, must make economic sense, and the high cost of fuel for either Delta or Northwest is far more likely to result in the reduction or elimination of service than this merger will. No discussion about the current state of the airline industry would be complete without mentioning the devastating impact of the unprecedented rise in the price of oil. Every day, we read about the price of a barrel for oil that's hit new record levels. Over the last 5 years, we've experienced a 28% annualized increase in oil prices. And in the last 12 months alone, the price of a barrel of oil has more than doubled. Many analysts do not foresee the price of a barrel going under $100 anytime soon. What is less widely publicized is the equally dramatic cost in the rise of jet fuel, which is extracted from that crude oil. Since 2001, the cost of a gallon of jet fuel has increased over 500% and has nearly doubled since December of 2006. The airline industry is somewhat unique. When the price of oil rises and you go to fill your car up with gasoline, you pay more at the pump. You really don't have much of a choice. In the airline industry, however, we are lucky if we can recover through fare increases even 50% of fuel price increases. Those costs have to be made up somewhere else. Despite becoming more and more fuel efficient and obtaining more and more productivity from our employees and operations, Delta and Northwest have today two of the lowest cost structures of the mainline carriers, and the impact is dramatic. In 2003, fuel costs consumed 17 cents of every dollar of passenger revenue received. In 2008, we expect that number will be 43 cents. 43 cents of every dollar of revenue will go to pay for the cost of fuel. For Delta, every dollar of increase in a barrel of oil cost us about $80 million. Thus, the run-up just from $100 to $120 a barrel will cost us over $1.5 billion this year. As a result, there are fewer dollars left to improve passenger amenities, acquire new aircraft, and provide better compensation and benefits to our employees. The employees in this industry have sacrificed time and time again. Dramatic rise in fuel has resulted in much of the cost savings that our employees have generated through productivity and benefit losses being used to pay for fuel rather than to improve the product. In effect, it has eroded most of the sacrifices they have made to make their company more viable and sustainable in the future. We are determined not to subsidize our business from our employees' paychecks, and we need to find a better answer to this problem. Merging Delta and Northwest will create a much more financially stable company with approximately $7 billion in liquidity and over $1 billion in annual synergies. The combined airline will be able to withstand an increase in fuel better than either airline standing alone and still maintain profitability. This financial strength and flexibility will provide additional resources to help weather the unprecedented fuel cost environment and will create a more resilient business with improved job stability and growth for our employees. I've already touched on some of the key benefits our customers can expect from the significant expanding number of domestic and foreign locations that will be available from the merged airline. There will be other benefits, such as a common frequent flyer program that will provide more opportunities to earn miles, more schedule options, and more efficient routing for passengers as we optimize a combined hub structure. Of equal importance, the financial stability the combined carrier will have will allow for the reinvestment in products such as our planes, our in-flight services, and our reservation systems. For example, we've already publicly declared our intent to exercise options to purchase up to 20 new wide-body international jets between 2010 and 2013 to upgrade our fleet for international flying. That option would not be available had either carrier been left on a standalone basis. We are mindful of the difficulties in combining the complex operations of two airlines and that other airline mergers have encountered problems that have inconvenienced customers. Delta and Northwest are committed to making this merger seamless and trouble-free to our passengers. Both Delta and Northwest today are members of the SkyTeam Alliance and are used to working cooperatively. Our frequent flyer program, our customer lounges, and our technology systems have already been partially integrated. In addition, we'll be able to build on the decades-long partnership between Northwest and KLM, which, as you know, is now part of Air France, and the long-standing relationship between Delta and Air France. All of these factors will help smooth the integration process for our customers. In closing, I'd like to acknowledge the support we've received from people across the country, including here in Minnesota. Members of the Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Minnesota Chambers of Commerce said it best in a recent editorial in the Star Tribune when they wrote, "It's impossible for proud Minnesotans like us not to have mixed emotions about the merger announcement between Northwest and Delta Airlines. Northwest is as much a part of the state as our lakes, our winter, and our hockey. Even so, Minnesota businesses recognize that this is a merger of economic necessity for both airlines in an era of unprecedented pressures from record oil prices, economic distress, and competition. For our economic evolution and success to continue, we must be able to reach the world, and the world must be able to reach us reliably and at a competitive price. We believe this merger increases our chance of being able to do that well into the future. That is our intention, to build a strong, durable airline that provides good jobs, wages, service, and benefits for the hardworking people of Minnesota. Neither Delta nor Northwest are standing still in the face of enormous challenges. That's what makes us industry innovators and leaders. We'll continue to be a strong corporate citizen of your state, and we'll do our best to make Minnesota proud. Thank you for this opportunity. I look forward to working with you in the future as our merger transaction proceeds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bastian, and we look forward to visiting with you as the process continues in the event that it moves down that course. We certainly welcome your comments, and they appear to be very positive, but I can't help but tell you that it feels like when we lost the North Stars. I do have a couple questions that I have for you, and then I suspect that members of the committee do. But like you, we value our employees very much as well, and I wanted to note that it is our special assistant to the committee's birthday today, Julia Bach. The president of Delta just wished you a happy birthday. We're also joined today by Patrick Kelleher, who is a page for us this afternoon or this morning, and we welcome him as well. Thank you, Patrick. Obviously, you're aware of the agreements that Northwest has entered into with the state of Minnesota. We obviously made an investment of about $500 million in Northwest, and in return, we got an agreement that they'd keep a headquarters, the hub, and over 10,000 jobs here in Minnesota. I'll ask you just point blank, do you intend to honor those agreements if Delta moves forward with the acquisition of Northwest?
We will. We've already announced that the corporate headquarters will be housed in Atlanta, Georgia. We have already said very publicly, and I said in our statement, that we will maintain a very vibrant presence here in Minneapolis-St. Paul. We're committed to no hub closures as a result of the transaction. We're also committed to no loss of jobs of an involuntary nature for any of our frontline employees, meaning our those individuals involved directly in customer service. We look forward to discussing the terms of the covenant with the governor's office in the state, and that's the level of commitment that I can make today. Obviously, we're very early in the transition plan. You know, this hearing is reasonably early in the process. We've only announced this over the course of the last couple of weeks, and so we've not had the opportunity yet to get into the details of the specific covenants, which jobs will remain in which states, and what activities will be housed in Minnesota.
Mr. Bastian raised a couple points I just want to follow up on. How do you define a frontline job? Can you give us the laundry list of who would be a frontline job?
A frontline job are those involved in service of our customers, our reservation agents, our maintenance workers, our airport workers, our pilots, our flight attendants, our ground staff, etc. Those would be what we define frontline employees. By and large, it's the majority of the workforce at Delta Airlines and Northwest Airlines.
Is it fair to call that any job outside of the headquarters is going to be safe in Minnesota?
There's probably some management and administrative jobs in the airport itself in terms of managing where you have duplicative services and you've ever done this. We wouldn't have that here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I think Delta has roughly 20 employees in the airport here. Those 20 employees could easily be integrated in the Northwest operations. But in some markets where we have large operations of both Delta and Northwest employees, there's overlapping and redundant management teams. Some of that management redundancies might be eliminated.
Okay. And Mr. Bastian, those management redundancies that might be at the airport, is that limited to those 20 jobs you just referenced? Are those the only ones that could...
No. The 20 jobs will remain. The 20 Delta jobs will remain, and they'll be integrated along with the Northwest jobs that will remain at the airport as well. You asked, are the jobs only in the corporate headquarters that there would be redundancy? There's been some overlapping markets, which we have quite few, quite honestly. There may be some airport administrative activities that we could simplify. That's not true here in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
And Mr. Bastian, roughly how many how many jobs outside of the headquarters could be in jeopardy as a result of the acquisition of Northwest by Delta?
I'd say it's a very small number.
Can you give me a parameter? Any sort of range? Is it less than 100?
Again, it's too early in the process, but I can tell you that the activities that there would be redundancy would be the corporate, largely the corporate headquarter activity.
With respect to the headquarters, the question has come up, is there any sort of incentive that we could offer from the state of Minnesota that would entice Delta to move its headquarters to the Twin Cities?
No, there's not.
Okay. Is there, under the agreement with respect to the jobs, is there any indication that you can make with respect right now to the quality of the jobs that will remain? You've indicated all of the frontline jobs are not in jeopardy.
Right.
Can you make a commitment as you sit here today that they will remain with the same sort of benefits, the same sort of pay, the same sort of quality of job that they currently have?
Absolutely. We expect and we will and we pledge. We've already written a letter committing to retain the contracts for all the employees, the current levels of pay and benefits. In fact, we're going to be enhancing them. We also announced as part of this merger we're going to be providing stock in the new company to our employees, both Delta employees as well as Northwest employees on day one when the merger closes. So it will be enhanced from today's position, not degraded.
Okay. And Mr. Bashton, you indicated, I tried to write it down, that with respect to the ability to unionize or whether this new operation would be unionized or not, that you would respect the employee preference on that issue. And I heard that correctly, didn't I?
You did.
Okay, and with respect to that, I'm gathering then that the new entity, the Delta/Northwest, will remain neutral with respect to whether or not the employees unionize. Is that fair to say as well?
What we said is we'll respect the process, and we'll support whatever decision comes out of that process. It's a process that is governed by the National Mediation Board. It's a process that has proven effective over time. Delta Airlines, we have gone through our own history of mergers and acquisitions. The Western Airlines in 1987, Pan Am, we used the same process then, and we'll use it again with respect to this merger, and we'll respect the final decision.
Thank you, Mr. Bastian. With all due respect, I'll confess I didn't understand what you just said. My question is: does Delta intend to participate in the unionization effort, whether it would be pro-union or anti-union, or are you intending to remain neutral?
We will support the process that the National Mediation Board puts out, and that process is one where it makes certain that the employees of the combined airline, both the unionized employees and the non-union employees, have a voice in the process. We'll respect the employees' voice in the process, and wherever the employees decide to come out, will respect and honor their decision.
Okay. And Mr. Bastian, does that mean that management then will just let the employees decide whatever they want to decide without participating in the process one way or the other?
We've got a long history at Delta of working with both unionized employees as well as non-unionized employees. And quite honestly, I'd say the process we have at Delta today works very well. We also have a long history of integrating unionized employees and non-unionized employees from our past merger history. And as a result of that, we will fall back on what is working today. And when I mentioned Delta, I talked about a company that, first of all, never furloughed an employee prior to 9/11, ever. And a company that has never had a strike in its history, ever. A company that has consistently paid its employees better than most in the industry, that's offered good paying jobs. And so in that context, I'd venture to say that we have a point of view that the employees are being treated fairly, whether they're unionized or non-unionized, and that direct relationship works. And my view is if it's not broke, I'm not going to look to try to fix it.
And thank you, Mr. Bastian. I believe I've heard the answer that you intended to give. I'll give two final questions that I have, and then I want to open it up to members of the committee. I was hoping to be done with my questions by 9:30, but Ms. Glumac said your comments were only going to be 10 minutes, and they were 22. By the way, I appreciated your comments. I think they went to the heart of many of the issues that I had on my sheet of paper, and I suspect on most members' list of questions. But you referenced that, and so did Mr. Hurst when he testified the other day, that there's an effort or a hope to renegotiate the terms of the agreement that Northwest has with the state of Minnesota. I heard loud and clear when I asked the question of whether or not Delta intends to honor its agreement when it acquires Northwest, that the short answer is no with regard to the headquarters. And that there's an effort, obviously, to keep a hub. There's an effort to keep the frontline employees, but not necessarily the corporate headquarter employees. With regard to what Mr. Hurst said the other day and what you've referenced now, there's going to be an effort to renegotiate the terms. Mr. Hurst described those as very fair and reasonable to the state of Minnesota. Can you give me some parameters within which we might work? And I understand you want to talk to the governor directly about that, and I'd welcome that, but I think it would do our hearts good here to hear a little bit about sort of what sort of ballpark you intend to play in with regard to those very fair and reasonable terms to renegotiate Northwest's agreement with the state of Minnesota.
Well, I think it's premature to get into any of the specifics, and as I mentioned, it's early because I know that the principal issues are going to be around service to Minneapolis, St. Paul, the preservation of the hub, as well as the preservation of jobs in the local community, whether it's title the corporate headquarters or not. I presume jobs are what's the most important aspect on the state's mind. We're certainly going to be preserving this hub structure. In fact, we think we have a better opportunity to preserve this hub as a result of the merger, rather than Northwest standing alone on its own merit. It's clear to us that there will be a significant amount of the jobs that are currently today in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in Minnesota will be remaining. We don't have a number. It'd be premature to throw out a number as a threshold matter. But I can tell you our goal is to make certain that this state and the city is supportive of its airline, and we'll work hard in the negotiations and the discussions we're going to have with the state to that effect.
And I do want to share with members of the committee one correction. Commissioner McElroy sent me a follow-up email. You'll recall the other day we talked about if the jobs at the corporate headquarters are lost, roughly 1,000 jobs, $80 million direct impact. The commissioner said, based on those sorts of jobs, probably a 2 to 2.5 time multiple to talk about the impact of Minnesota's economy, the indirect economic impact. That would be roughly $200 million at most. Commissioner McElroy sent me a follow-up email saying actually these jobs have more of a multiplier and that the impact would be in the neighborhood of $400 million, which is 5 times the multiplier. So this is a very significant sort of thing. I also asked Commissioner McElroy if that was an annual number and if that just arbitrarily ended after 1 year. And he's preparing a response using the Department of Employment and Economic Development economists to share with us what sort of impact that might be on a further basis. With regard to those jobs, Mr. Baxton, are you anticipating or would it, I recognize you're going to say it's premature, but the jobs at the management side, is it possible to keep a technical headquarters, an IT headquarters, the SOC, which I think is what is Systems Operations Center, those sorts of jobs, or be able to retrain those folks to keep them in Minnesota? We've got a lot of people, I'm sure, that are having many sleepless nights as a result of the announcement of the merger and are concerned about where they might be working or if they'll be working at all. Is there anything that you can say as you sit here today
to
them get a little bit more sleep at night?
Sure. First of all, the 1,000 job number that you quoted was something that Richard Anderson had mentioned in testimony a couple weeks back in Washington. That 1,000 was for the combined company, Delta and Northwest, so that was not a local number. That was, and there will be job losses in Atlanta as well as in the region of the Minneapolis, St. Paul. So when we talk about consolidating the corporate functions and the corporate activities, our approach is to try to take the best of both companies. And there's some very capable, very highly skilled employees that work in corporate activities and support activities within the Minneapolis, St. Paul region of Northwest that we absolutely want to retain in the company. In fact, we may be and very well will be moving people from Atlanta into Minneapolis, St. Paul to look to consolidate activities and job functions. So I don't want to talk to the specific function per se, because it'd be premature, and I don't want to mislead anyone and let people think that we've made decisions when we haven't at this point. But the numbers you're quoting are significantly high, in as much as there will be as many losses, or there will certainly be significant losses of that 1,000, both in Atlanta as well as in the Minnesota state. And I also do believe that many of the workers that, unfortunately, if they are to a position where the jobs are lost, are of such professional caliber that they'll be able to regain employment in other industries. In fact, I know Northwest has been having a challenge over the course of the last several years with some of the economic arrest it's been under, just holding on to the people that it already has within the corporate headquarters. So there's some level of attrition and loss that's going to occur either way, just by people naturally choosing to work in other industries. This is a tough industry to work in.
Okay. Representative Zellers, and then Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Bastian, for stopping down. Apologize maybe on our behalf for the method in which we got you here, but I do appreciate you coming here.
I'm pleased to be here.
In my frequent flyer miles.
With a big brick in the pocket, but yeah, Mr. Chairman, you're not for miles. The one question, and again, along with Chair Atkins, I agree, we had a lot more, quite honestly, than I expected to hear today. Thank you for that. The one question I had is, last year you were opposed, or not in favor, maybe not necessarily opposed, but you were not in favor of the merger, and now we're here today, and you're ready to take us up on an offer, or take the Northwest up on an offer. What changed over the course of the year, or since 07 to 08?
Well, thank you. You may recall last year that Delta Airlines was subject to a hostile takeover by U.S. Airways, and we fought hard to avoid that. I personally was had a leadership role in making certain that didn't happen. Why it didn't happen was primarily because that was a bad deal. That was a deal in which there were going to be significant losses of jobs and service. The deal, the U.S. Airways management came out and said that there would be a reduction of up to 15% of service for communities. Small communities would be restricted in terms of their access to the to that deal. Job losses would not be simply of a corporate nature. They would be across many walks of life. It was a company that did not have a history of treating its employees with the equitable treatment, the fair treatment that Delta has historically engendered amongst its employees. And if you look at the state of U.S. Airways today, quite candidly, it's a bit of a mess operationally. And thank God we didn't allow that merger to occur. That was a merger of subtraction in terms of taking away from people, taking away service from communities, taking away jobs from employees, and taking away pay and growth opportunities for the employees. This is a job of a merger of addition, where we're looking to make certain that it's the right deal for our constituents, for our communities, our customers, our employees, and as a result of that, we feel very differently, that this is the right deal. I know what a bad deal looks like. I fought hard personally to make certain that didn't happen. I also know what a good deal looks like, and I think this is a good one.
This guy's from Representative Zellers.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Bastian. I don't know if you heard or listened to any testimony from last week, but there was a comment about your management style that I found really offensive. Not sure if you heard about it. You referred to it as plantation-style management. Not knowing your company, not knowing how you operate, assuming that your employees still work there, they must like their work, I just wanted to give you a chance to address that here.
I found it outrageous. And on behalf of the 50,000 employees of Delta, we're very offended by that comment.
Representative Zellers. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Bastian. I pretty much kept quiet through most of these hearings because, for a good reason. I come at this from a number of different ways, and the good thing of having an attorney as the chair is, and with the prerogative of the chair, is that the chair gets to ask the questions first. So you got through at least a dozen of mine, but I have some concerns. But I'm going to. My first question here is relating back to Northwest Air has a history of as a union airline, and Delta does not. Delta has its pilots primarily unionized, but the balance of the employees are not. And I believe, if my memory serves me right, that you had a number of organizing drives at the Delta Airlines, and they have failed on fairly close votes. I'm a union construction worker. Here's my question, and you were not evasive, but you answered the question as a good politician would answer a question the way you wanted to answer the question when the chair asked it. I'll be much more direct. National Labor Relations Board is a complete joke when it comes to working people. I mean, it may as well not be there. It's mostly our enemy. So, here's what I'll ask. Will Delta, if there's a move to unionize Delta and Northwest employees into one larger union, will Delta allow its swear-off closed-door meetings where it's just the management versus the workers and the organizing effort doesn't have a chance to respond? That's one, and that's a fairly common tactic against working people trying to organize a union. The other is one-way blogs, not allowing employees to respond to what they perceive as outrageous lies or slights or whatever in company newsletters and newspapers. Are you planning on doing that same kind of stuff that many other companies have done, or are you going to treat your employees with the respect and the assumption of intelligence that they can make decent decisions on what they want, on having the whole information, not just a one-sided set of information?
We a guiding principle to everything we do at Delta is to make certain our employees are treated with respect and dignity. And we want to make certain that the voice of the employees, both the unionized employees of Northwest Airlines and the non-contract workers of Delta, are heard in the process. That is our concern, that everyone have a voice in the process, that it not be a one-sided voice, that both parties and the employees for both companies will make the decisions at the end of the day, and we will respect the decisions that are reached. We'll not interfere with the process. We'll make certain that we uphold the process as the National Mediation Board, which is the law that governs this process, requires.
That's actually a double answer, because if you uphold the law that the National Labor Relations Board has put into place, you get to have closed-door meetings. You get to have unresponded accusations and comments. And yet, you said that you're going to respect the intelligence and the desires of your employees and be fair with them. So if you uphold the National Labor Relations standards, you get to have closed-door meetings. You get to have unresponded to letters and editorials in the company newspaper and in letters to your employees and everything else. So that's a two-sided answer. I don't think I'm going to get much of a better answer from that. But if you care to, you can take the shot at that. My other question is, when you talk about industry standards for pay and benefits, how does that relate to a baggage handler at Northwest Air versus Delta, or a ticket agent at Northwest Airlines versus Delta Airlines, or a stewardess at Northwest Airlines versus Delta Airlines? Are they, is there a zero-sum game there, or is Delta paid more, or Northwest paid more? And not just on cash on the check, but in their terms of benefits. What's the total package? Because you can always say a dollar figure and not put a total package to it.
Mr. Bastian, I know that was, actually, frankly, that was kind of a compound question. There's many layers to that, but if you can be as succinct as possible. I've also got three more members that would like to sure. share some inquiries. Mr.
Our employees at both Delta Airlines as well as employees at Northwest today are not paid in accordance with what we call industry standards. An industry standard is what the average employees in those various work categories, whether it be the flight attendants, whether it be the airport ramp workers, whether it be the maintenance workers, make relative to their peers at some of the other carriers. We have committed to the employees of the combined entity that we'll get the employees paid to an industry standard pay level no later than 2010. So that's when measured, including benefits, including rates of pay, compensation. And then in addition to that, the combined companies will have a profit-sharing plan and a rewards program that pays above and beyond what the base rates were. That plan this past year paid the combined employees over $300 million between Delta and Northwest. And when you couple the benefits from the profit-sharing and incentive plans together with getting to industry standards, we think our employees will be fairly compensated as they absolutely deserve.
Senator Mahoney? And Representatives Tilbury, then Simpson, and Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I got a couple of questions that I'd like to ask. I know that the merger discussions are early in the process, but I was just wondering if any of the bargaining groups are like I don't know what Delta would consider all those leaders that they have in the different employee situations. But have they been brought to the table at all to discuss any type of what might happen in the merger? That's one question.
As you're probably aware, we've had extensive dialogue with the pilots of both Delta Airlines as well as Northwest Airlines. In fact, it went over the course of the last couple months. The reason the pilots were at that table is because it's the same union. It was the Airline Pilots Association, the same union on both sides, but Delta as well as Northwest. So we knew who we'd be negotiating with, who we'd be having conversations with post the close of the merger. With respect to the other work categories, there is not a clear representative today that can talk to both the Delta as well as the Northwest employee groups, so whether it be the flight attendants, whether it be the maintenance workers, etc. So there was not, number one, there was not a clear individual that represented the interests of both parties across the two company lines that we could have a conversation with, point one. Point two, the other reason that the pilots were important in the discussions previous to the merger announcement was that there were some fairly significant restrictions in the current pilot agreement that limited the company's ability to implement the merger and be able to generate the revenue values, the synergies, with respect to moving aircraft around, with respect to what kind of code sharing that we could have on our respective companies, that limited our ability to actually deliver the value the merger needs to deliver to make it worthwhile. So we needed to make certain that we had that conversation with the pilots. We don't have those types of restrictions in any of the other workers.
And Representative Tilbury, if you're all right, Mr. Bastian is about to be whisked away to the Senate for their hearing that begins at 10 o'clock. If you can hold on to your second question, I'd appreciate it, and we'll hopefully wrap around. Representative Simpson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bastian, just I'm glad to see that this is a joint merger, and it sounds like it is, and it seems like a very positive merger. I'd like to just take and get a comment from you. If you made a comment in 2003, you were paying about 17 cents on a dollar for revenue for fuel costs. Now you're at about 43 cents. What do you see as a break point? At what point does the airline itself, can you continue? What you're doing here with this merger is trying to make an environment that works. So at what point is there a break point?
I think if we were left alone as standalone carriers, we may already be approaching that break point. I think it may already be here, and you're seeing that happen throughout the industry as carriers are falling almost on a weekly basis. And this time they're going into liquidation. They're not coming back. So we decided together with the Northwest management that we wanted to move while both companies are still reasonably strong. They came out of the restructuring reasonably healthy. We've got the cash resources and the financial viability to weather the storm, to fight against the rising cost of fuel, to make certain that the service in our community stays strong and looks for opportunity to grow, that we pay our people fairly. That's why we're moving now rather than waiting for fuel to continue to erode our ability to manage together.
Representative Mason. I'm sorry, Representative Lilly. I apologize.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Baskin, good morning. Thank you for coming to Minnesota. At least to our meeting anyways. I'm kind of, I guess Mr. Hurst kind of said this last week a roundabout way, but I think it's kind of accurate. I'm kind of romantic a little bit about Northwest and the history with the tie to Minnesota. You know, I'm one of the Northwest employees, I'm sure you was mentioned to you. So of course we're disappointed. You know, we're just I was, you know, over the weekend there was an article that I saw, and it was from the Atlanta Constitution, Journal Constitution, and talks about, you know, how excited they are that they're gonna be able to, you know, have the hometown airline there and, you know, in Atlanta, and how disastrous it would have been if had it gone the other way. And so that's kind of some of the feelings that we're having here, and I'm sure you understand all that.
I completely empathize, and as I said earlier, I was on the other side of that this last year when US Air was trying to do that to us, and I'm very sympathetic to that.
Thank you, sir. And so I'm now trying to, you know, move forward, obviously, and you know, it's just you know, I hope you take a chance to look up in the crowd here. You know, there's these folks, me, you know, we're afraid. We're scared. You know, the change is hard. You know, a lot of people calling in sick. They're just, you know, the unknown. A lot of people just don't know what it means. And, you know, I'm excited to some extent to what you said, and I hope you really mean the words you're saying. A lot of the words you mentioned are important to me, and I think it'll be important to these folks that they're treated with respect. You know, pledge respect. I mean, that's huge. And that's, you know, one of the things that happened in the past that's frustrating for us is, like our work group, for example, on those, you know, the luggage folks and the gate agents, you know, we took concessions. And then, you know, we would have the corporate folks would, you know, end up with, you know, a big check, essentially. So that's hard. And I hope you hear that and bring that forward to, you know, to Mr. Anderson. And it just it's frustrating, you know, and it's, because if we move together as a team, I think we're all better. And just so treating with respect, and the other words you mentioned, dignity and fairness, and you know, again, respect. And you know, the people that are there, you're going to get a great workforce. You know, they're going to wear, you know, have stickers on their cars, and you know, we're gonna get behind you. But you know, it's got to be a two-way street, and hopefully you take that serious. You know, for a lot of us, you know, it's these are careers. Mm-hmm. There was a lady, a flight attendant that spoke. Miss Foss, I see her out here, and she did a great job. And I think she spoke for all of us. You know, it's a career. You know, a lot of people, you know, you don't think of it that way, but you know, it's important. And we're going to be part of the team. And I hope we can be respected and treated well, and you know, move forward. And I think it's important to our state. You said that you're going to serve a lot of these smaller towns. I think that's so vital for Minnesota, and you know, it's going to be hard for us to change as a state, but I hope we can make it work. And please, I hope you really mean what you're saying, and that's so important to all of us. So, and I just kind of want to apologize as a machinist about to you and your team about the plantation comment. It was just mostly we want to be treated as respect, and hopefully you can do that moving forward, and that's it.
Well, if I could respond real quick to that, Mr. Chair. We absolutely mean what we say, and we're doing what we say, and you know, words mean little. It's actions that matter. And what I'd ask you to do, and ask all the Northwest employees to do, is to speak to their colleagues at Delta, whether they be unionized or non-unionized, and ask them those questions. How have we treated the Delta employees over a very gut-wrenching bankruptcy and reorganization process, just like Northwest went through over the course of the last several years? And I think you will hear from the employees is that one of the most important things we did is we've made huge inroads of rebuilding the trust of the management team and the relationship with our employees that was eroded somewhat because of the pay cuts, because of the job losses, because of working in a very, very difficult industry, and quite candidly, some failed past management decisions by the old team at Delta. But you know, the group that we've been together now for a number of years, we're on the right path. We've got strong relations with our employees. Our employees, I believe, believe the combined entity is going to provide value. The Northwest employees, this industry, this company is all about service, and it's about employees. You know, we're an airline, but at the end of the day, we're a service company. It's the hard work of the employees that make this all possible. And whether it be Delta employees or Northwest employees, we're going to embrace, you know, the Northwest traditions and the hard work and the success that you've had here to come together with the hard work and success we've had down in at Delta to make an even better, more vibrant company that's going to allow us to actually be able to invest better in you and invest better in the tools that you need to do your job. That's our goal.
And Representative Mason, with my apologies, I need to go to members of the committee first. I appreciate you being here. But Representative Dominguez and then De La Forest.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my question, and I don't want to beat this, but it's a question that keeps coming up. You know, you mentioned the opportunity that you will have for your employees, that some of those from Atlanta which come here. Do you foresee some of the employees that are at this headquarters going to Atlanta?
I would see there be some sharing. Yes.
And what positions do you think that would be? Sorry, Mr. Chair.
That's best. It's too premature to tell you which positions or what functions, but you know, our goal is to make certain that we respect and bring the strengths of Northwest and the strengths of Delta together. So we're going to look to share the shared strengths between the two companies. And yes, I would expect to see jobs moving between the two locations as we get to a combined entity, but I can't speak yet to those specific functions because it's too early in the process.
Mr. Chair, one last question. And so what I want to get at is the ones that are losing the jobs, will they have an opportunity to get other training within them?
I think it's premature. The jobs that we are talking about that would potentially be at loss are professional skilled workers that are already skilled in their profession. We certainly support any time we've had reductions at Delta in those similar types of work categories. We've assisted them with outplacement counseling, severance support, and those activities to make sure that they find a new job in a new location, outplacement work as a result. So I would think those workers, as compared to say the customer service workers, are probably better suited to take their skills at the current level and replace them in the job market.
Representative.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I understand that Mr. Bastian, good morning to you, sir, has to leave fairly quickly, but you know what, the Senate makes us wait all the time, and since it's the Senate, I imagine it'll be at least 20 minutes after the hour until somebody grabs a gavel over there.
Representative De La Forest is my senator that's holding the hearing, and I want to be able to go home.
Mr. Chairman, we're a co-equal branch of government, bicameral government, as you understand, but I did just have a couple of questions. Again, Mr. Bastian, good morning, and I know change is difficult, and we're wrestling with this issue, so again, I appreciate you coming before us today, because I think that ultimately, you're right. I think that the business combination is probably going to prove to be better for everyone involved than the alternative, standing alone, especially in this kind of business environment. But the first question I had is, this is with respect to the what we call the frontline employees and that universe of employees. You had mentioned there would be no involuntary reductions, and I think the chairman talked about the jobs being safe, and I just want to be clear with respect to Delta's intent. You say there will be no involuntary reductions, but do you intend to maintain the same level of employment or perhaps to look through some voluntary reductions, for example, attrition or buyout packages and the like?
To the extent that there are some redundancies in the corporate headquarters activities, we will certainly first look to do it through voluntary means. We currently have a program at Delta today where we're in the midst of needing to reduce certain of our corporate activities, and we have a voluntary package that has been offered for the employees, and we would hope through attrition, through voluntary means, to minimize any involuntaries on the corporate side.
Representative LaHorse.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Bastian, just to follow up, understanding where we are in the merger process, do you have any idea how many jobs may be subject to voluntary reduction offers?
It would be premature.
Okay, thank you.
Representative LaHorse.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My second question, Mr. Bastian, I know one of the issues, and I don't blame you from what I know about the airline industry, from staying away from U.S. Airways, and one of the bugaboos of mergers has been integration, how to integrate the employees from different companies. And broadly speaking, how does Delta intend to avoid some of the problems that have beset other airlines that have attempted to merge in terms of integrating their employees?
Mr. Preston. Well, the first step that we took was with the pilots with respect to working over the course of the last several months, both with the Northwest pilots as well as Delta pilots, to hear their concerns, to try to come to a combined integrated seniority list, a combined new collective bargaining agreement. We worked around the clock for a matter of several months. We could not get that done at the end of the day, but we were able to actually achieve that with the Delta pilots. And we got reasonably close with the Northwest pilots, and I'm confident we'll achieve that matter before the transaction closes. That's our goal, is to try to get a combined pilot collective bargaining agreement done before the transaction closes. So as one step in terms of how it's being done differently, that's how it's being done differently. We look forward to doing the same thing with all the other work groups, harmonizing the pay rates, the scales, the work conditions. But there is a process that we need to go through that under regulatory laws of the National Mediation Board that will govern the process. We don't have an option to that degree. We also are providing our employees, equity and stock in the new transaction, in the new company, to incent them to try to find the value to the combination and to reward them for the hard work in actually making this possible. Technology, we already share a considerable amount of technology between the two companies. We're members of the same alliance within SkyTeam. So Northwest, KLM, Delta, Air France already have preliminary approval for antitrust immunity to start working together on the transatlantic. So those activities will be harmonized. But I think the most important thing is that we want to make certain we learn from where others have gone and not repeat mistakes. We have a history of Delta of having done this better than others, and we'll continue to try to fall back on that tradition.
And thank you, Representative LaForest. With apologies to members of our committee, I gave my word to the Senate that we would release you from our committee by 10 o'clock because they go into session just like we do at 11, and I understand that you're here today. Mr. Hurst already has asked for my frequent flyer account number. I will forward that to him. So that
thank you very much.
We may want, this may be more of a, up to you, but we might want to invite you back. It seems like...
I look forward to coming back, and I look forward to keeping you apprised as we go, and I appreciate the opportunity for all good questions.
Thank you, Mr. Gaston. Mr. Hurst, be with able to stick around for just a few minutes? Or do you want to go with Mr. Bass?
My apologies, Mr. Chairman, but I think I should.
All right. Fair enough. Then we might want to invite you back as well. There were a few follow-up questions that people had.
I'm happy to respond to any questions, and obviously we look forward to keeping the committee informed as this process develops.
Thank you both very much. I appreciate your attendance here today. Thank you for everybody for coming and joining us. Representative Zellers moves the minutes of the last meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. With that, folks, we stand adjourned. Thank you all very much for coming.